Hey everybody and welcome back. My name is Sue and I'm from OML Embroidery. And today we're gonna have fun on this podcast. So welcome to my podcast, I guess I should be saying. So today I wanted to talk to you guys about the question that I get all the time, either on the YouTube comments, which is nice, keep commenting, thank you, and emails. And people ask, this is just one of them, people ask, which machine should I buy? And it's so hard for me to answer because it really depends on so many factors. So my first answer is you have to figure that out yourself. However, I can offer some help. So the first thing that you should take into consideration is the dealership. Where are you getting it from? Do you trust the dealer? And more importantly, is it close by? So why that becomes really important is if you are, you know, in need of a repair and you have to take it for a yearly repair, if you have to drive, you know, 5 hours that way, it's going to be a little bit difficult to do. So that's the first factor. The second factor is what you want to do. So if you just want to stitch mug rugs like Lynn is never going to upgrade unless her machine dies, her Mickey machine, which is an older single needle machine with a 4x4 and 5x7 hoop. But she is perfectly content with that size. She doesn't feel like she's missing out on anything, and that's what she wants to do. So I had talked to her about it, like, what do you want to do with an embroidery machine? And that's what she said. I just want to make mug rugs all day. So we found a nice used machine at a very low price, and she's just happy. So if you want to, you know, make bags or do appliques or quilt in the hoop, then you're going to need a little bit of a different machine. A lot of people say too that get the biggest hoop size you can afford, which I do agree on that to a point, but a lot of the price for the machines, you know, hoop size, but also bells and whistles. So if there's a bell and whistle that you just can't live without, for example, you know, snowman stickers, the cameras, the projector, something like that, functionality, you know, a really, really intense sewing part. I guess that's another thing too. Embroidery only or embroidery sewing, and what does the sewing have? That also will take, you know, into consideration. So if you're a sewist and an embroiderer in that order, then you're going to want to make sure that the sewing machine side is decent. So if you want to do a lot of appliques, then probably, you know, a 5x7, 6x10 hoop will do the majority of you want, of what you want and what you're looking for. So, you know, like I said, it's hard work, but going back to the basics, the needle goes up and down the same way on every machine. They all have hoops, they all have motors, they all have single thread. Whether or not you have lights on your thread depends on how much you want to pay. So some people think, you know, the Luminaire and when the Brother Dream Machine came out, that it was absolutely outrageous that anyone would buy one. Now, of course, I bought both of them, but I got a good amount of money from selling my Dream Machine to make it a little more reasonable. But if you want all the bells and whistles, there's nothing wrong with it. Think about it like a car. You can get, you know, a very expensive car with all the bells and whistles, brand new, Or you can get a used older one for less money, or a new like, you know, just plain without all the iPhone hookups. So it depends on what you need to have. So if you have a Brother or Baby Lock dealer nearby, just for example, go look at their machines and talk to the person and see what they think. They can come up. I mean, they'll probably try to upsell you, but there's nothing wrong with that either. A machine that allows you to grow instead of holding you back is fine as well. But it just depends on what you can afford. If you can get payments on it, then you can decide. But that's why I can't tell someone, you know, buy this machine, because if it's outrageous price to them, they get mad and they comment as such. But that the money part is very personal. And I mean, some people bought the Luminaire 2 the minute it came out and they paid top price and they're very happy. So I let them be happy. I'm not going to say, gee, I wish I had that money, or gee, you know, that's not fair, or anything like that. You got to get what makes you happy. And if you're embroidering on your machine and it doesn't make you happy, then, you know, you need to do something. If it's broken, fix it. If it's not what you want, trade it in and get another one. They take trade-ins. It's awesome for that. So another thing people ask, should I get a multi-needle or should I get, you know, the top end of a single needle? Well, that really depends on you. And again, what you want to do. If you want to do a lot of shirts, they are most certainly quite a bit easier to do on the multi-needle because it's easier to hoop everything and there's more hoops and more sizes, all that kind of stuff. The multi-needle can be expensive as well, and they don't usually carry with them a lot of bells and whistles, but some. But nothing like the Luminaire, that's for sure. So some people like it. I personally, because I've done production for 20 years of it, I don't like the noise anymore. When I had to have Ragnar up here, he's actually downstairs with Don. Ragnar is my Brother PR-1000E that I had to use for a little while in between McDreamy and the Luminaire 2. And it was very difficult for me to stand there. Not difficult, I don't want to say difficult, but not as comfortable as I am with the single needle. Rearrange the cameras and stand there and shout over that machine. So the noise kind of bothers me, but anyways, that's just me personal. I thought it was kind of crazy when I wanted a single needle machine when we have, you know, 6 multi-needle machines in the house. But I'm glad I did. I'm glad we ended up getting a McDreamy that started the whole ball rolling on the channel, which we still want to grow, by the way. Let's keep that going. Everything's kind of down about 35 to 50%, so we want to kick that up a little bit. So, now, multi-needle. One thing I enjoy, it's hard to explain this, so I'll try. One thing I enjoy about the single needle is that I don't bother with the colors that come in on the design. I decide on the colors myself, but what I mean is I don't bother. I don't sit there and take the time to change any colors to the numbers of what I have. To me, it just doesn't matter. So I put in a design and then I just stitch it with the colors. You know, if they have a burgundy and I want it red, I'll do it red or blue or whatever. It kind of leaves it more open to on the fly. Whereas when you have a multi-needle, you must tell it what colors are on the machine versus what color you in the design, and they have to match or else they'll go to the unanchored key, unanchored thread, and do it all in that color. So yes, on the single needle machine, you have to change threads all the time. You don't have to do that on a multi-needle machine, But I think it takes just about the same time to change the threads on a multi-needle. It's difficult for me because half the time I can't reach them to tie them off, but that's just me again. And then pull it through and then, you know, program it and do all that stuff. So it's six of one, half dozen of the other on that part. Most people think it's just, you know, you put your design in the multi-needle and you press go. But no, there's a lot more to it than that. So the only like huge benefit I would say to a multi-needle machine is if you are doing, you know, a repeat of something. So if you're making the same quilt square over and over again, and each time you load it up, you don't have to program the colors, that would make it faster for sure. Louder, of course, but faster nonetheless. So there's pros and cons to everything. So once you figure out what dealerships you have close by, which you can take your machine at least once a year and knock wood, no problems, so you don't need to do it even more than that. The other thing too I should mention, which I was quite surprised at and I'm still not used to it, the single needle machines do not require you to oil anything at all. The dealer does that when you take it in, when the machine tells you it's time for a checkup. With the multi-needle machines, you need to be very vigilant in your oiling. The race has to be oiled, you know, a couple times a day, depending on what you're using it for. The needle bars on different machines, there's different places. On our commercial machine, it can take 10 minutes to do all the oiling if you don't know what you're doing, and there's some parts that are hard to get at, and so on and so forth. So for daily use, you know, the single needle's kind of cool. Definitely kind of cool. So those are just some other differences. So the other thing too, people, you never hear Lynn, for example, saying, oh, I only have a 5x7 machine. Well, only, no, she loves her machine. She says, I have an embroidery machine, and she's quite happy for that. So the people who say, oh, I only have a 4x4, you can do anything in a 4x4, you just have to figure out how to do it. Now, 4x4, all the machines used to be 4x4. You couldn't get much bigger than that. Obviously, machines have evolved over the years and, you know, end up with the Luminaire types, which, whew, that would have been amazing 20 years ago. But anyways, so with the 4x4 hoop, obviously, you can do small designs. You probably can't do too many mug rugs, but you might be able to do coasters, and you can do designs on clothing, just kind of add-ons. I don't think you can do much in the way of quilting, but you can learn how to multi-hoop. So what multi-hoop means is that you take a large design and you break it down to do it in different hoopings. So you have to line everything up, and it takes a bit of practice to get good at it, but you can get good at it. Same goes with the 5x7 hoop. That's a little bit larger. You should be able to do quilt squares, and you should be able to do lots and lots of mug rugs like Lynn does, that sort of thing. And you can multi-hoop. So I'm pretty sure for the multi-hooping, you have to have some kind of computer software to set it up. Now, I've seen people who have multi-hooped huge designs that they couldn't, you know, that they couldn't, they wanted really badly, but wouldn't fit in their hoops. So it's just a matter of learning. That's actually what we used to do 20 years ago, is multi-hoop everything. I had PE design for the longest time. I don't even want to say what number it was, because it was a long time ago. Whew, don't want to date myself, but you know, there you go. So I learned how to do it, and I made do with what I had. However, really quickly, I realized I'm going to be doing different stuff. So I had the single needle for like 10 minutes. No, it was probably 2 weeks or so. And then I'm like, nope, multi-needle. And I got my first multi-needle, which was a six-needle brother. And his name is Harry. Yes, Harry Brother. Brother being the last name. And I'd like to point out that Harry Brother is still in our production field. He's probably eventually going to come upstairs with me, but not yet. So 20 years later, I asked Don how many stitches, and he thinks it rolled over to a billion, if you can believe that. 20 years of working out stitching every day. Anyways, the only thing we had to repair on it was the motor. So it was $150 in 20 years. So you can tell Don, you could tell that Don knows how to maintain them and keep care of them. So, I mean, that's one thing. That was me. I knew I was going to go into a business and I knew exactly what I was going to do. And I learned digitizing on the side sort of thing. So I had two machines for the longest time till I met Don. And then we now have, you know, five or six or seven. I don't even know anymore. I don't go down in his office. I just shut the door. So so many things to take into consideration. If you're never going to do anything more than mug rugs, and there's nothing wrong with that, by the way, then a 5x7 machine for, you know, $800, that'll be perfect for you. Or, you know, a starter machine. I kind of hate when people say that because you lose so much money, you know, trading in or going up. But if you're really, really not sure of what you want to do, or even if you will like embroidery, then a starter machine would be fine, a starter single needle. Me personally, I know I can figure anything out. I'm a nerd, I'm a techie nerd, and I'm an embroidery nerd. So for me, it's a good time to read the manual 20 times before the machine gets here, so I know what I'm doing exactly, and then I can experiment, and, you know, I'm not afraid of pushing buttons, that sort of thing. So I find it all very exciting. I love bells and whistles. I normally have to have all of them. Just all of them. I'm just like that for, it's just who I am. Like, I can't just have a computer. I have to have an Alienware with three monitors. You guys saw the command center, we're calling it. Apparently Don just loves it. It's my desk, by the way. Everyone thinks it's Don's desk. No, it's my desk. We just moved everything. So, but he really liked the way I had the monitor set up and everything. So, but that's just me. That's how I roll. Some people don't need them. So what brand is better than the other? Yeah, see, I've had brothers and I have one Baradin. And the commercial machine is not always what we need. We needed a little more, like, not the home thing. I don't know how to describe it. Okay, so commercial machines, people think that they are moving up to a commercial machine. And I kind of laugh because commercial machines, they're workhorses just as much. The brothers are right up there with it. I mean, 20 years of service for Harry, that's pretty good. But the commercial machines are big dumb brutes, is how I describe it to someone. So when my kids were helping me out with embroidery, they weren't allowed, nobody was allowed to touch Barry. His name is Barry Baradin. Of course, nobody can be that surprised. So Barry Baradin is a 16 needle commercial machine. He weighs a half a ton. It takes four men with a few injuries at the end to move him. He is just a really big guy. And he has really big hoops, which is cool, but he is not the smartest guy. So what I mean by saying he's not the smartest guy is that hoop-wise. So when you take a single needle or even a brother multi-needle, I can't speak for any other ones because I haven't used them, you move the arms and you put the hoop in. So the machine knows what hoop you have, and it will not let you stitch something that is going to hit the hoop. So that's something to be really thankful for, because the commercial machines don't have that at all. So literally, you can put in a 10 by 10 design and set up all the colors and all the weird things that they do, and put in a small circle hoop, and the machine goes, okay, and it'll start stitching, and it'll go stitch, stitch, bang. And you have to be careful of that, and you have to trace out everything that you want done to make sure it's not going to hit the hoop. So that surprised me, because I had a brother, and then I got Berrington, and I figured it out pretty quickly that you have to, you know, try everything first. So I would consider getting a commercial machine. I don't consider it moving up. It's more of a sideways move. It's different, and I'd be willing to bet that most people won't like it. Oh, because it's very annoying. So commercial machines, what they're meant to do, they give you like four hoops of everything. So what they're meant to do is the same thing again and again and again and again. And the machine sets it up that way. Whereas the other machines, like the brothers, for example, Harry or Perry or Larry, they can do that. You can just start and hoop and go, but you can change in between. But there's always that safety factor, I guess, that it will not stitch on the hoop that's too small. So I like that for that. To me, we didn't get any other commercial machines because we weren't functioning that way. I mean, we like Barry, and he was pretty cool, and he doesn't do anything spectacular. And there's really honestly no bells and whistles, but he stitches, and he stitches with a lot of colors. So it's kind of cool for that. We use them for big, we call them trays, big hoops, stitching out a whole bunch of things and then do it again and do it again. So he has his uses, but I would recommend to most people, if you're getting a multi needle machine, don't bother going into the industrial level, because I don't think you'll like it. That's all. I didn't like it very much. Anyone who did use Barry Berrington didn't like it too much, because the risk of breaking the whole entire machine for one miscalculation, or you didn't pay attention, or something like that, was just too high. So nobody ever used them. I let my best friend Jeff use it a couple times, and he was very careful with it, and that's fine, but it's all very nerve-wracking. So I would consider, for, you know, my home business, that the semi-industrial machine, so the 6 needles, the 10 needles, that works for business. However, for anything else, I'm super happy with my single needle machine. I find it thoroughly enjoyable. I am still playing with it and learning all the bells and whistles, and there are so many bells and whistles. That's another thing too. If you're looking at price-wise, the more bells and whistles, cameras, projectors, lasers, all that kind of stuff, the more expensive it's going to be. So if you're not doing work where you need the projector, then don't pay for it, if that makes any sense. It's cool and everything, but don't pay for it if you're not going to use it. Now, a lot of the stuff I noticed on McDreamy, a lot of the stuff I didn't use, the bells and whistles. They just didn't come into what I was doing, you know, the mug rugs and the quilt blocks and stuff like that. But a lot of it I did. I used the placement quite often. I found that really handy. And I think for the luminaire, it's going to be similar to that. Although I haven't checked everything out to, you know, add it into my normal routine. So yeah, when people ask me that question, it is impossible to answer. And I don't like to talk to people about the money, because some people think, oh yeah, that's a great price. And other people start calling me names and tell me I'm outrageous or something like that, that that's not what you pay for it. And I'm like, well, yeah, if you want top of the line, you pay for top of the line. If you don't want bells and whistles and you're going to be happy with it, then get a, you know, quote unquote starter one, but don't get mad at me about it. A lot of people do that, by the way, just in case if anyone's wondering. I'm not complaining. I have thick skin. Sometimes I find it annoying that all the comments are not nice. I don't know why people can't be nicer. If you watch the video and you like it, then comment about what you like about it. And if you don't like it, just move on to the next video. You don't have to call me names. Yeah, most people don't think that happens. It happens. It happens. And it's almost kind of funny. Some people call me greedy. We had a situation like 2 years ago that I was being completely harassed by someone calling me greedy because I was selling embroidery designs. And I'm like, I don't get how that's greedy. That's, you know, a business. Yeah. People get kind of funny. There's all sorts. So I'm very careful not to talk about money. I talk about, you know, what you want it for. What are you planning on doing? And believe it or not, most people who are looking into embroidery have a pretty good idea of what they want to do. They want to do applique, which is quite vague, but they want to do household stuff. They want to make wall hangings. They want to decorate their kids' clothes, which is awesome, by the way. They have a good idea, and that's where you can start other than, you know, your closest dealer. So brother dealer, they want to do applique on their kids' stuff and make, you know, towels and gifts. So that's the second one. And from that, you can decide they don't need a 10 by 16 hoop, which is hard to use, by the way. They don't need huge hoops. They may need bigger than the 5 by 7. So that's going to put it into a mid range. And then how much money you want to spend on it is the next thing. Some people have limited budgets. Some people have very limited budgets. You can get financing. You can, you know, call up your savings. There's a million things that you can do if you want to do it. But you don't necessarily have to go straight to the top and spend a whole ton of money on a luminaire. What's the point if you're not going to use all the features that you're paying for? So step, what do you want to do? Do you think you change your mind on that? Big things, you know, in the hoop things, what do we use our big hoops for? I use mine for quilting. Occasionally, you know, a big back design, you know, back of a sweatshirt, back of a jean shirt. That's about it for the big hoops. I need to find more things to do with the big hoop, the very large hoop. I'm very excited about it. I was actually really happy that I could do a mega monster quilt square with that hoop. So I would say get exactly what you need. Nothing more, nothing less, because you don't want to be disappointed in your machine. Have a look at the bells and whistles and if you're going to use them or not. And then last of all is go in and talk to the dealership and tell them what you want. And, you know, you can see the machine. You can check out the machine better than you can online, too. That's another thing that I would suggest. Do your own research. So once you go through the first three steps, then hop online and check them out. You can read the brochures. You can read different things about them. So when the for here, we're locked down for 6 weeks, so you won't be able to go anywhere. But other countries aren't. So, and this might be listened to in a year. Go and speak with the dealer. They're always happy to help. They're very knowledgeable. And most of the time, I think they'll get you what you want as opposed to a commission for selling another machine. So it would be nice that way. Check it out. Do everything. For me personally, I just thought of one more thing. Snowman stickers are my thing. So I would never want to, for what I do, have a machine that I can't use the snowman stickers, because that is, I haven't been using them lately because I'm all into the quilting, which is awesome. I'm having tons of fun with that. So for something like that, I mean, McDreamy was pretty much perfect. The Luminaire is enjoyable, and I really do like the Luminaire. I'm really having tons of fun in it, but that's just me. One thing I discovered that's surprised me, the Luminaire has surprised me a couple of times. So one time, it's wireless, so you put it on your Wi-Fi network, which is really well done and easy to do. And then you can send the designs wirelessly to your machine using PE Design. Obviously, it senses the network machine and sends it over, and Embrilliance. But no other software will do that. So it's only those two. So I was like, that could be a downfall. If your network goes down or something happens between the two, which actually happened to me, I couldn't get it to send it to the machine, remembering, of course, that I'm a nerd. So I troubleshooted everything and I ended up erasing everything that was on the machine regarding the Wi-Fi internet network and starting it again, and it worked. But I thought, oh, that would be really difficult for someone who doesn't know technology quite as much as I do. It works fine now, but I thought, oh heck, I'm just gonna plug it in so I can send, you know, everything from Wilcom or whatever software I'm using at the time. And Wilcom won't do it. Wilcom is the E4. I don't know about Hatch. I'll have to check that out. I don't use Hatch very often. Wilcom E4 is a commercial embroidery setup. So it's geared to those big dumb machines I was talking about. And none of them are wireless, but now they sell a wireless thingy that you plug it into, and that you can send from Wilcom. But I'm not going to be doing that because it's very expensive, and we'll just run the cords. We don't need it because we only have one commercial machine, and this guy's wireless anyway, so I don't understand why more can't send to it. But I guess people put them on a USB, put the designs on a USB. I looked and there's no, you know, designated plug-in to plug it into your computer, because that's what I was going to do when I was rewiring my command center here. But it doesn't appear that there's any labeled for that. One of them might work, but I was quite surprised. I'm like, oh. So I had to do a couple things on the router to make sure that, and it's very nerdy, to make sure that the IP address for the sewing machine and my computer remain the same so they can find each other. Anyways, it does get that complicated. So that was a bit of a surprise when I heard it was wireless. my brain just said, no wires. Hey, that's great. I didn't think about the mechanics of sending it over, like how you can send it over to the machine. It doesn't show up anywhere on my computer that I can just click a button and send it over. So that's kind of, I don't mind it, but everything I do, I have to export it into a PES and then open up PE Design or Embrilliance. Yay, Embrilliance. I love Embrilliance. And send it over, which is, you know, fine. So again, take that into consideration. You have to really think, are you going to use the bells and whistles? Like, are you going to use the extra quilting designs on the Luminaire 2? The answer is yes, I am. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to get it. So, you know, it's cool. So that's legwork that you have to do. No one else can do it for you. I, of course, I'm not selling any machines or anything like that. I can only talk about what I've done in the past and what I have now. And hopefully that'll help some people decide what machine you want to get. But it is up to you. If you want to spend $10,000 on a machine, there's a lot you can choose from. But if you only, and I don't mean only, if you want to spend four, then you're going to have some limitations. And the limitations don't actually have to limit you, but, you know, hoop size, bells and whistles, that sort of thing. So you got to, you know, watch some videos. I have a ton of videos, probably over 1,000 now, of, you know, the things that McDreamy, my brother Dream Machine 2, can do, and now the Luminaire. And I have done videos with the 10 needle and how you have to do everything and what it can do. And don't be fooled by the 14 by 14 hoop. It doesn't work that way. All those things. And figure out what you want to do with it. So rather than asking me, I will only give you those things to think about. You have to do your research and figure out what you want. Because the best machine for me, or what I think is the best machine, is not going to be what's best for you. Like, not everybody needs a Luminaire. I am quite happy with it, but did I need it? No, McDreamy was just fine. But yeah, that's how we nerds roll. So if you know anyone who is looking, to get a new machine and has all those questions, which one should I get? Is this a good one? They're all good ones. I'm going to say that. Needle goes up and down the same way on every machine. They're all good ones and you can enjoy it. But good for you and good for me are two different things. So again, you can tell people the list, the set of what we talked about, or just let them listen to me ramble on about it. And then they can feel a little more confident in choosing a machine that will work for them. So awesome. So thanks everyone for listening. I'm going to go back and listen to this a little bit, and hopefully I'm not rattling on or anything like that. Some of the stuff is hard to explain, but part of the reason we're doing these podcasts, it's fun, it's interesting, and you guys can get to know me a little bit better, more personal, different from the YouTube channel, but we still want the YouTube channel to rock and roll and get up to 100,000. So keep watching videos. There's no commercials on them right now. We're going to carry that into May. We did just fine in April. So we're going to carry that into May and we can keep it going. So if you don't want to watch commercials, buy a design or two and hopefully the money will equal out and no commercials. So study up, learn, stitch, smile. Thanks guys. I'll see you guys on Saturday for the Dime So Long, which is one of our favorite things to do. The weekend after that, we're going to be stitching the block of the month number 3, which I think everyone will love. So yay, bye!